Kerevim doesn't do that. Like most of the Shas don't do that. They throw you in, and someone like Paratesti would come and say, "Oh, so that's what the Gemara meant the whole time." You know, that's something. It's fascinating how Gemara works. It's clear that Rebbe, when he made the Mishnah, he made the Mishnah assuming that you're going to have a Rebbe. You can't learn Mishnah without a Rebbe, because there's so much knowledge you need to know about a Mishnah that you can't learn a Mishnah without a Rebbe. And the Gemara for sure is like that. Okay. This is taken from a version of which is being printed now on Shas with the cycle of Daf Yomi. Basically, it's called Talmud Bavli Havshalom Hamor Shas Lublin. It's called the Lublin. It's the rival to the Besifta version. I spoke about a Besifta version. Each one has miles. Each one has Sosfenis, but Besifta isn't out on Erevin yet. And Lublin is, so we're going to use this, his introduction. Okay. I also want to point out something fascinating. When you look at the Rambam in Hilchos Erevin, in Hilchos Erevin he talks about the Dinim of Ruvi Chetzeris, the Dinim of Tchumen and Ruvi Tchumen. The Dinim of Mechitzes, and the calculations of Mechitzes, actually he puts it all of that in Hilchos Shabbos. You know, the definition of the Rishuyas and the definition of Mechitzes, what's a valid definition of an area, etc. All of those halachas are found in Hilchos Shabbos, according to the Rambam. And some of it, when we learned Shabbos, we did get some of it, so some of this will go pretty quickly. Mesatas Erevin Oisekis Bedin Rishuyas Sha'oshila B'Shabbos Talta Behem, Chenatalta Mishus Achas Tacheris. It deals with situations where you may not carry from one area to another, and how to correct that. And the lochos of tchum. And how we're going to address the issue of tchum. So Erevin is many ways has a lot of coolers in it. It's a lot of the lochos of how to permit things. This process of addressing something and permitting thereby carrying or going past the area of tchum is called eruv. Eruv chetzeris, eruv tchumen. Why? Kimish al yodoy mis arvois kama reshuyos l'rishos achas or kama tchumen l'schum ha'echon. It creates a connection. Lashon of taruvus, a mixture. So I can take one area, a few different defined areas, and make them into one large area. That's a Ruvi Chetzeris. So it's supposed to be being each one distinct and prohibited from each other. They're all one big one. And the same thing, by Ruvi Tchumen, I'm allowing you to go beyond your original area, taking distinct areas. One was Heter Tchum, one was Isher Tchum, and making them into one area called Tchum, which is Mutter. The name Erev and Tukna Yadei Shlomo HaMelech, that's the Gemara. Pshat Shetikin Shlomo Melech Eruvin V'Yadayim. He instituted the lochos of Eruvin and the lochos of Natilas Yadayim. Just a baskol v'amra b'ni im chacham li becha yismach li bigamoni. The version says I enjoyed the chachma of Shlomo Melech that he made such institutions a klai yisur. Okay, Mesechta Eruvin a second b'shlosh shechalakim ikrim, the three main areas which are addressed in Hilchos, in Mesechta Eruvin, are mechitzos. What are considered the valid ways of petitions is, I guess, would be the correct word, mechitzah is a petition, but we picture it as it's dividing into an area. The point is mechitzah divides between the area which is mutter and the area beyond it, which is aser. Tchumen and chetzeris. So the division goes like this. Perek Rishon Rasheni Oseik Dinei Mechitzas. The first two prokim deal with the lochos of what are valid mechitzas, etc. Prokim shlishi, revi, chamishi, oisek b'dinei tchumen. Then the third, fourth, and fifth deal with the lochos of tchum. Prokim shishi, shvi, shmini, tshi, oisek b'dinei eruvei chetzeris. Then with the lochos of eruvei chetzeris. Perek asiri oisek b'ikroi b'dinei shvus l'tzarech mitzvah b'mikdash. The chazal were matur certain cases of hutzah, because of the Tzarech Mitzvah, and then from there it goes to other things, the Chazawar Matar, the Dinim Drabban, the Chazawar Matar, because of mitzvahs, etc. So that gets off topic. So the Masechta, as usual, ends off with something which is, in our minds, has very little connection to the beginning of the Masechta. Okay. So the first thing is important. We have to redefine our halachos of Rishuyos. Sugei HaRishuyos. So this we had in Masechta Shabbos, but it's going to come up enough again in Masechta Erev, and then it's worthwhile to review it and review it well. Masechta Shabbos, Mavur Yishu'osu L'Hachlis L'Hoitzim Rishus HaYochid Rishus HaRabim. A person cannot carry from Rishus HaYochid Rishus HaRabim or vice versa. Mishu'osu L'Talta Rishus HaRabim Atzva. So Rishus HaRabim has two halachas on it, one that you can't carry in the Rishus HaRabim more than Dalet Amos. Dalet Amos or more. And you cannot transfer from one rishus to another. Beyond that, there are four areas, halachic areas defined for Hilchos Shabbos, which are rishus hayochid, rishus harabim. Then there's a karmelus and a makom psur. So, what are these four? What are the definitions of these four rishus? Rishus hayochid is makom hanamakom shtochay or shitchay probably. Is its area is a pachas arba al arba tefachim. It's at least 4x4 tefachim. Hamuk of mechitzes, which it has in some way is set off distinctly from the area around it through mechitzes. Begayver asar tefachim, which have to be at least 10 tefachim tall. Rishusu or la'ad rikia. Once the rishusu hayachid is defined, the airspace above it is also called rishusu hayachid, and that goes up as far as it can go up to the rikia. Rishus HaRabim, he Rishus HaMiyachedes HaRabim. It has to be that, something which is made for the use of the Rabim. Shirachava Shisha Shesh Esrayam. It has to be at least 16 amas wide. Okay, so this is requirement number one is that it's something which is the area which is used for the Rabim. Number two, it is 16 at least 16 amas wide. There are some who require that there's a passage of 600,000 people through that area, which is actually, even though the definition of Rishus HaRabim we found in Masechta Shabbos, that requirement of 600,000 people is not mentioned in Masechta Shabbos. It's mentioned here in Rashi and Tosfos Masechta Erevin. Okay. It can't have walls around it. It can't have a roof. So we have four or five requirements, Rishus HaRabim, but it's used with the Rabim, 16 amas wide, doesn't have walls, it doesn't have a roof, and possibly it needs to have a large amount of people walking through it. Rishus Zuhina Adgab Asar Tvachim, it only reaches the height of 10 Tvachim, and above that is considered Makom Patur. Makom Shein Kviyak Tanoim Halalu. Minataro Hinoi Makom Patur. Any area which does not meet one of these two definitions, Minaraisa is now a place which has no halacha on it. You're allowed to carry in it, you're allowed to carry from it to the other types of Rishuyos, etc. Ulam Chachamin Chilku Bein. The Chazal divided the Deraisa Makom Patur into two groups. A group which they left as what's called a makom patur, and an area which they called a karmelus. Bein makom rochav, an open area, a wide area, literally the hakari karmelus. Shekim shadayim al rishus harabim, dinav birabanan rishus harabim. Since in some ways it reminds us of rishus harabim, it's usable by the rabim. Theoretically, it's open, etc. So Chazal gave it mirabanan the lochos of rishus harabim. Which would mean that you can't carry Dalet Amos, you can't carry from there to Rishus HaYochid, and the height of the Karmelus only extends till 10 Tefachim. They also gave it then like Rishus HaYochid, you can't carry from there to Rishus HaRab. An area which doesn't have valid halachic mechitzas gets a din of a karmelus. That's one group, and the second area of this, the the mineraisa makam tzur is the bein makam tzur or shum makam rishus rabim. It's an area which is found in rishus rabim. The reason why he says it is because there's also things as the makam tzur and rishus yachid. Rishus yachid envelops everything around it, and makam tzur and a karmelis. It's a machlokes and halacha. If such a thing exists, or since a mineraisa makam tzur and a karmelis are the same thing, and Chazal gave a din of karmelis and the area around it, can you define the makam tzur as distinct from the area around it? We're really, it's basically the same thing. They're all makam tzur mineraisa. So the Mora says a concept called matzah min, or the Rishonim say a concept called matzah minas minoy, that it's sort of just absorbed into the greater karmelis around it. Well, that's why we paskin. There's no din of karmelis. Say that again. There's no din of makam tzur in a karmelis. So the only place you have a makam tzur is in Rishus Rabim. Rishus Rabim, you have a makam tzur. It's distinct from Rishus Rabim. It's not a karmelis, so it's a makam tzur. That's why he said, throws in those words, which is Hatzor Mi Arba Tvachim. It's more narrow than four Tvachim. Shemut L'Tal Tavoy. You're allowed to carry in that area. You can carry from Makam Tur to Rishus Rabim to Rishus Yachid to a Karmelis. You can carry from those areas to the Makam Tur. It has no dinim on it.
It's more narrow than 4 Tvachim.
It's more narrow than, it's less than 4 Tvachim. It has to be 10. There is a hechatimsa of a makam tzur in a karmelis. It's higher than 10 tefachim high, because karmelis only extends till 10 tefachim. Someone which is taller than 10 tefachim, it's not four tefachim by 4 tefachim. It's not a rishus yachid. It's not a karmelis. It's a makam tzur on top. So if I have a fire hydrant on a very very busy street, and there's sidewalk all the way up to the streets, so sidewalk is part of the Hilach HaRabim, the sidewalk, the street, etc. There's a fire hydrant. Said fire hydrant is less than 4x4. It's a makam tzur. Even if it's not 10 tefachim high. If I take the same fire hydrant and I put it on a karmelis, so they say, well, if it's 10 tefachim high, it's a makam tzur on top. If it's not, it's not. So I have to know how tall my fire hydrant is, so I want to use it as a makam tzur in a karmelis. But I wouldn't, as long as it's 3 tefachim high, Rishus Rabim, it's a makam tzur. Nimsa lemaisa, shlemaisa mutla talta rak rishus yachid a makam tzur. So practically, the heter of carrying only exists in a rishus yachid or makam tzur. Now makam tzur theoretically could be very long. The rishus yachid is 4x4. If I have an area which is 3x1,000, that's also called a makam tzur. So it's 3 tefachim wide, and it can be as long as you want. It's a makam tzur. Okay.
So you take something like a midbar, right? That's a karmelis, right?
Maybe it's a karmelis.
Why is that a karmelis and not a rishus rabim or two?
There's no air which is designated there for the purpose of hiluch rabim. Or usage of the rabbin. So the definition of rishus rabbin is either because it's made to travel in, or it's made to for people to gather there and use it. So those are your plaza of the city or your roads. Or your
so it has to be man. You're saying it has to be a man-made.
Well, the destination could be man-made. The Rama says the pasuk that when Klai was in the midbar, since they designated this area as the area where they're going to travel, that became Rishus HaRabim. For that period of time, that was functioning as Rishus HaRabim. When they left, it's no longer. The Mora says that we had in Shabbos, it's no longer Rishus HaRabim.
Well, okay, but I mean, let's say, you have, for instance, the forest. People say, look, this is open to the public. Everyone go and have a tule in the forest. It's over the public park.
Right, but the public park means each person comes there and moves, strolls in his specific path. So there's no designated path which everybody's using. Everybody, if you'd have all of a sudden, like the whole city beside, we're going to travel through the forest from point A to point B in an area like 1,000 amas wide. And we're all going to travel there and back and there and back. Yes, then we would designate the forest. And we'd have to discuss, you know, the fact that you have the trees in the way, how much that affects the halacha, etc.
Okay, so if you had a trail that was, let's say, 16 amos wide.
Right, that could be Shazarab. That'd be a pretty wide trail, but... Okay. Rishus b'sach Rishus. Kol shad d'chachem b'shet inimsa b'chalal Rishus ha-yachid. So if you find one Rishus ha-yachid inside of another, and this is... Well, we'll see. Okay. Abba v'shacholuk m'rishus ha-yachid b'gobay b'aymkai, even though it's itself is set off because it's taller than the area around it or deeper than the area around it. V'atul Rishus b'dinok Rishus ha-yachid. So you have an omud, which is Rishus HaYachid, in Rishus HaYachid. It's not two separate, distinct Rishuyos. It's all one area. You have a well in Rishus HaYachid. Well is Rishus HaYachid. It's 4x4, and it's 10 tefachim deep. But it's all part of the same Rishus HaYachid. But if you have something which is distinct from the Rishus HaRabim, it's higher than 3 tefachim high. It was less than 4x4, and a mudrik rishus b'fnei atzmai, we raised a makom patur. That's called a makom patur. It was more than 4 tefachim wide, and raised a karmelis. That's a karmelis. 4x4. Chur rishus. We had this idea of chorim, of the cracks and crevices. Charim shabakas the Rishus HaYachid, apart the Rishus HaYachid, you have cracks in the Rishus HaYachid which are open to the Rishus HaYachid. Even though it extends all the way through to the Rishus HaRabim also, Dinuk Rishus HaYachid is part of the Rishus HaYachid. So a person would be traveling in Rishus HaRabim and there's a little crack in the wall which goes all the way through. He puts something in there, he puts something for Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYachid. An example which is, and the guy I think we mentioned to you was the old locks, which the hole is, goes all the way through. Right? Nowadays you can't see through all of it, but the old locks you can see all the way through, right? The keyhole. So if you put your key into the keyhole, if you were to send Rishus HaRabim and you put a key into the keyhole, you put your key into Rishus HaYachid. Because that keyhole is a hole which goes all the way through to Rishus HaYachid, so it's considered part of Rishus HaYachid.
Even though most of it's still with you.
Even though part of it's still sticking out, right? Once you put it in there, and you let go, you did the act of hachnasa. Okay, the modern keyholes are a little bit different because they don't go all the way through. Okay. If you have cracks which are facing out to the Rishus HaRabim, but they don't go all the way through, or to a karmelis, they don't go all the way through. If they're above 10 tefachim high, and they themselves, the area, the opening isn't 4 tefachim, it's a makom patur. If they're below 10 tefachim, okay. Now this is a concept we're going to see a lot in the Masechta. So, midaraisa, any area which has walls which are ten tefachim high, it's at least 4x4. It's Rishus HaYachid. Ownership is not an issue. Which is the only reason why Rishus HaYachid ownership becomes an issue is we'll see in regards to the lachos of Aruv Chetzeris, people's minds, ownership makes it a Rishus HaYachid. So I have two, if I have an area which is enclosed and it belongs to two people, each one owns half of it, and there's no wall down the middle, that's only one midrash, that's one big Rishus HaYachid. In people's minds, that's his personal Rishus and his personal Rishus. It's two distinct Rishuyos in people's minds, that's why we need Ruvich and Tzeris. But midrash, so that's an irrelevant concept. Because I came along and said, if you have an area which is extremely large, and it's enclosed, it's not going to get the halacha of Rishus HaYachid unless it's made for living in. So if I have a big city, it's a walled city, that's Rishus HaYachid. It's made for living in. If I have a very large corral, I have a ranch, and I fence off with a fence which is 10 tefachim high, a 3-mile by 3-mile area, because I own this big ranch. It's not a Rishus HaYachid in people's mind. I mean, right, it's a Rishus HaYachid. That's a Rishus HaYachid. But in people's mind, that's an open area. You know, it's a wide, expansive land not made for living in. It's for, you know, for cattle to graze in. So Chazal recognized that, and they gave it a din mirabon and a din of a carmelis. So here's the one example of something which mirarais is rishus a yachid, and mirabon it's a carmelis. Most carmelis is mirarais are rishus are machem patur, and mirabon they're carmelis. Here's the only example where you have something which is mirarais is rishus a yachid, and a person would carry from rishus rabban to that place to be chayiv because it's rishus a yachid. Mirabon said you can't carry more than dalaramas in that area. Because it's a karmelis. You can't carry from there to Rosh Hashanah.
But by definition, does a karmelis have to be a certain size? I mean,
it has to be at least 4x4. Which is 4x4 tefachim. It's not very big. It's less, right? That's the minimum. So that area, which is called, that area, which is referred to the catch-all name for those type of areas, is called a karfev. Okay, mukav l'dir b'karfev. Agam shemukav mukav mechitza is hina rishus hayachid. Even though midaraisa, any place which is enclosed is considered rishus hayachid. Kamukav gosu chachamim shemukav sheshitchay shava l'shetach she'arka mei ama v'rechava chamishim ama. An area which is the equivalent of 100 amas by 50 amas or 5,000 square amas, which is the area of Beis Hasayim. Beis Hasayim means if you take the 2 saws worth of wheat, the area would take to plant that in the normal planting fashion would be this area of 50 by 100. When you're talking about a base saw, a base kur, those areas, it means it's an area which it would take to plant a kur, which is a volume of a measure of grain. The area would take to plant that, it'll be called a base kur. The area would take to plant the saw is a base saw. Base asayim is 2 saw. So one saw takes 50 by 50, so 2 saw takes 50 by 100. So an area which is already that large, which if you make it a square, the more we'll talk about it, you make it to a square, it's about 70 yamas by 70 yamas, and a mashuch or more, okay? And we're going to see a lot about that as we go along, so that number, 70 yamas and 2/3 of an yama, and a little more than that, will be important as we go along. So that area, which is that large, lo yichosh b'shus yachid elam ken hukav b'shil magurim. It was only considered shus yachid if it was enclosed for the purpose of living in it. Lo hukav l'dir, if it was not enclosed for people which are going to use it for living space, didn't look at karmelis, it gets a loch of a karmelis. Makam zem mechuna is referred to in a loch as a karpeth. The second parak deals with what defines a karfev, which means ma geder hook of ladira. Define the definition of hook of ladira. The shegina shehi makim zroim mavkiim shem dira me'amakim. Once you plant it, that takes away the halacha of dira from that area. Ketzinitan lahakev l'shem dira makim shekvar yesh lehakev. Something which is already enclosed. Not for the purpose of dira. How can you change that and give it a status of being hukav l'dira? It means if I go and enclose an area not for the purpose of dira, and then I put houses inside, it's still called a karfif. Because it wasn't hukav l'dira. The original act of enclosing it wasn't for living purposes. So I need to. If I want to carry in that area, I need to address that. How do you address that? Okay, Rishush Mishutefis. Even an area which halachically has met all the criteria to be considered rishus yachid, if there's a dual or common ownership amongst people, many people, so then they required a ruvich hatzeris. So that was the idea, because in people's minds, that's called a rishus of a rabbin. It's an area which is a rishus which belongs to a group. Now, that's not really true. In halachic, in the true halachic sense, that's a rishus Hayochel means it's a area which is enclosed, etc. It might belong to many people, but that is what the Torah defined as a rishus of individual people, as opposed to that made for the purpose of the tzibur walking. In people's minds, that's called rishus harabim, and I can carry from my personal home into this common courtyard, I can carry from rishus hayochid, individual person, into the rishus of the rabim, of the group. So I can carry from my house to the streets. I carry my house to the boulevard, because it's rishus hayochid to rishus harabim. In people's minds, it's all the same thing. So no, you can't carry from your house to this common area, which is enclosed. Because if you can carry from there, you'll carry the who knows where. So Chazal said we're going to have to address that problem. That's called Ruvich HaTzeres. Okay, so that's the Rishuyos. Okay, so you said definition of a Rishus HaYachar is that it has walls. Okay, what defines walls? There's a joke, I guess, about a fellow. He was very poor, impoverished, and he built his sukkah, so he really couldn't afford too much money to build a sukkah, so he built a sukkah based on Lovud, based on Gurasik, and based on Daifin Akuma, and based on Tzuras HaPesach, and based on every single thing he came up with, he built a sukkah. So, it's a kosher sukkah. So he sits in the sukkah at nighttime, and he has this beautiful silver candlesticks over there, and then he finishes, he goes inside, he locks the sukkah. Comes out the next morning, and the light is stolen. He says, that gun wasn't a lamdan, how can you get inside the sukkah? So, our definition of what a mechitza is quite different than, the definition of what we would picture what a mechitza is. Kvishis bar le'el, as we mentioned before, Rishus HaYachid, Rishus HaMukhefes Mechitzis. So it's an area which is enclosed. It talks about the definition of mechitzas. Now, first question is, how many mechitzas do you need? How many walls do you need? So, mispar mechitzas. This is mechokas. This is not a gemara. This is actually mechokas rishonim. Nachloka rishonim im ayudei sholosh mechitzas habrishas yochem mitaraisa. If you have three walls and the fourth area is totally open, is that called Rishus HaYachid D'Oraisa or not? So Rashi and most Rishonim, hold this is called Rishus HaYachid D'Oraisa, even though the fourth side is totally open. Oh, Shesholosh Mechitzas Enam Ela Kedei Lavkiyam Rishus HaRabim. Once it has three walls, it cannot be defined as Rishus HaRabim. Okay? But the Rishus HaYachid Tzarech Shetiyah Doifen Revius, you have to have a fourth wall, a chelka, or at least a portion of the fourth wall, a kari lechi, which should then be what's called a lechi. Kachi das Rambam, that's the Rambam's opinion. The nafkamina is, for our purposes, the nafkamina is minimal. Bizman, there's a Sanhedrin, the nafkamina is a yachayev, is a person chayev from transporting from the Rishus HaYachid a three-walled area to Rishus HaRabim, is Yechayev B'chatas or not? Is Yechayev Skila or not? Now it is either one, it's also to care from one to the other, and everybody agrees it's not allowed to carry until you address the fourth wall also, in some way. So the halacha says that once if the three areas are enclosed, and you put a small portion of a wall on the fourth side, that allows it to be carried. That's what we'll see. That's called a lechi. The usage we talk about our city Erev, and we use the word lechi. That's a common practice. It's a misnomer. It's not really a lechi. The definition of a lechi is this example over here. It's a piece of a wall in an area where you have already have enclosure on three sides. And there's one Tana talks about even two sides at the Devolechi. We'll see in a second. But this wide open area which we have, where that's the more language for Tzuras HaPesach is a kona mikan, is a pole, not a lechi. Gemara Muva Das Rabbi Yehuda Shasav Shaiyad Eshtei Mechitzes Reis Rishus HaYachid. Rabbi Yehuda Shita is that even two walls, that's more later on, is can be a Rishus HaYachid. Okay. Next thing which is important, so how, when you have what you say, it's a wall, can there be any opening in the wall? You know, I have four walls, and you know, that's Rishus HaYachid. I can't have a door? No? I can't have a door, okay. So what happens when the door is open? What happens if I don't have a door? I just have like an open space to walk in. It's not a house. It's a backyard, and I leave a little bit of an opening to get in. Well, it's not a wall anymore. So obviously we understand that it's normal for people to walk in and out of an area. That's not that shouldn't be something which takes away from its status of a rishus. So I'm in a parts. Mechitzah yesh bar pirtzis, a mechitzah which has openings in it. So we said that's not a problem. Doors are okay, openings are okay. If it's too wide, so that's not considered that's not an opening. I mean, that's your wall is broken. So how wide is called too wide? Well, again, everyone agrees mirabon on that you can't have the whole fourth wall open. But let's say you had four walls, but you had an opening in one of the walls. You know, wall was you had a nice big area. It was 30 amas by 30 amas, all enclosed. But there's an opening on one side, which is 15 amas wide. You have 7.5 amas on one side, 7 amas on the other side. Open in the middle, 15 amas. Is that called a doorway in halacha? Let's say it's 2 amas wide, is that called a doorway? So I have to know what's called a doorway. At some point it's okay, at some point it's not. Furthermore, let's say I have a lot of openings in that wall. So, or I have the area is 20, it's the area is 15 amas wide, 7.5 is open, 7.5 is closed. So the language that they use over here is the main thing, there's more wall than opening. But the main problem is that do I need more wall to make it mutter? Or if there's more porous, it becomes osur. That's how the language he uses over here. In other words, when they're exactly equal, what's the halacha? That's basically the question which he's presenting.
Does distribution of that open space matter?
It does, to some extent, and we'll see that. Okay, lavud. Beyond that, so there's a halacha which is called lavud. And the halacha Moshe Mitzinai, so this is halacha Moshe Mitzinai, that shkol sharevach ben chelke hamechitza pachas mishasha tvachim, harevach shabeneim nechshav kechelek meh hamechitza. If the gap between two parts is less than 3 tvachim, lavud is less than 3 tvachim. If it's 3 tvachim already, it's not lavud anymore. If it's less than 3 tzvachim, it's not considered halachically. It's not considered that there's any space there, and that there's also discussion amongst the achronim. How do we look at that? We look at it as if it's filled.
That it could be filled, you mean?
No, we look at it as if it's do we look at it as if it's an irrelevant gap, and it's a gap, or that it's filled? And then we discuss, well, if it's filled, what's it filled with? So the example which is an example of a difference is actually in Hilchos Sukkah. The halacha is that in your schach, if you have an open space of 3 tvachim down the middle of your sukkah, that separates it halachically to two sides. So if there's not enough halachic area in either side or one of the sides, that's not a good sukkah anymore, because you have avra in the middle. If you have schach posel in the middle, say schach, which is makabal tumah, 4 tefachim is a problem. So a person, shir sukkah is 7 tefachim. So if your whole sukkah is 16 tefachim, and you have 4 tefachim of schach posel down the middle, right? So you have 6 on this side and 6 on that side, you don't have a sukkah. What would be in a case where you have 2 tefachim of schach posel, 2 tefachim of schach posel, and an airspace of 2 tefachim? So is that 4 tefachim? Because the gap is irrelevant. So that's 4 tefachim of schach posel. So your sukkah is posel. Or no, it's like it's filled. What's it filled with? I don't know what it's filled with. It didn't say it's filled with. It's filled with normally something which is kosher. It doesn't mean filled with what's next to it. It's filled with halachic, that's called a valid area. So that's not kosher in the middle. So it's two two schach kosher, two schach puzzle is okay. It's only four tefachim straight of schach puzzle, which is a problem. So this is a discussion. I'm not worried about the ma'aser. What are you doing? Like, I mean, I'm talking about the taz and the magen arams. I'm talking about, you know, how do you pass on that case? So how love it works is itself is a discussion. Good asik, good achis. See, these are also lacha moshav sinai. Good is the Aramaic word for a wall. Asik means to go up, and achis means to go down. Okay. That once you have a wall, something which means to consider a wall, which means 10 tefachim high, that wall continues to go either higher or lower. Which meets the criteria of being 10 tefachim high. We consider the mechitza as if it continues to go up. It's called good asik. Good achis. It also has a lach of going down. So if I have a house or have a porch which is built out over water, and the porch has walls which are 10 tefachim high, so good ach is telling me that wall goes down into the water. So the water under the porch is a shesayach. So somebody would then be in the water and take from the water, which is a karmelis, can't take from the water, which is under the porch. If I want to draw water, I have a hole in my porch that I use to draw water, that's okay, because I'm not taking from a karmelis to a shesayach. I'm taking from a shesayach to a shesayach. But I want to put a pail over the side of the mechitz and take some water out of the lake, that's karmelis to a shesayach, which is also. So Gurach is more talks about that issue of how to draw water on Shabbos in that scenario. Now, next extension of the concept of good achis. So the case of good achis, we start with a mechitza, which is 10 tefachim high, and we extend it down. There's one example where we have something which is less than 10 tefachim, which will also get a din of good achis. Or it's also it's called pitik or yer b'sosif. Pitikra means the edge of a roof. If you have a flat roof, it has to be flat. If you have a flat roof, and the area of the roof is at least 4 tefachim deep, and it has mechitzas around it. Let's say, our argument's sake, it has 3 mechitzas. So you have 3 mechitzas, and it's roofed, and the 4th side is totally open. But there's a roof there, and there's a front face of the roof, and the front face of the roof is at least a tefach thick. You picture what I'm saying? Yeah, the halacha is that's considered like a wall there. That's like we say good achis on the pitikra, and that encloses the rest of the area. It goes down as if the wall went down. Kamakein tikra rechava tefach, a roof which is the thickness of a tefach, and has a.
Does it go down at the end of it, or it's where it starts? This extension of the roof. Or would you say it goes down a certain amount, but does it go down at the beginning?
No. Here's. Here's the wall. Here's 3 walls. Here's a roof. The 4th side is totally open. We say the front of the roof is looked at as a wall, and then it's a din of good achis. So the whole 4th area, the wall is closed. Royan es kuda, we look at the edge of its kilu hu yarid as if it goes down. And that's called pitikra. So pitikra yarid besides the pitikra extends down and it closes. Okay, let's hold it here. Pick up tomorrow.